Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
At 8:34, we are joined by Professor Zev Kanin. He is a professor at the Department of Political Science at Bar-Ilan University. Professor Zev Kanin, a very good morning to you. How are you?
Very good morning to you and all your listeners. I'm fine. I hope you're fine as well.
I am indeed. Right. So we wanted to understand what is really happening in all of this rhetoric and all of the language between the United States and Iran, where Donald Trump, of course, talking about bombing Iran if they don't agree to a nuclear deal. What is happening here beneath the surface?
Okay. Well, actually, it's a continuation of the line that was proclaimed by Mr. Trump, during his electoral campaign, and immediately after he returned to the Oval Study in the White House.
Mm-hmm.
As we discussed also in this studio, I'm sure you remember that Mr. Trump said that he's coming to power in order to stop wars rather than to open them.
Right.
So as far as he is concerned, he is interested to transfer or to make, like, to give to outsourcing responsibility for regional mm-hmm. security in the areas which are not on the top of American priorities, according to him. For that means Ukraine, Eastern Europe, conflict with Russia, and on one hand, and the other hand, on the other place, also in the Middle East. As far as Russia, Ukraine, and all the stories concerned, Trump is interested just to divide or to make a split as far as it would be possible, whether it would be possible, between Russia and China, and this is the biggest priority of Washington at the moment. As far as the Middle East is concerned, Trump is interested to normalization of relations between Saudi Arabia and Israel, and for this point, until the war is finished in Gaza, in general, the Middle East war, that would be hardly possible. But Trump is interested in that, and in order to make it all this quicker and to transfer responsibility to Saudi Arabia and Israel, he is not interested in starting war or in developing a conflict between United States and Iran, and on the other hand, United States and Turkey. So as far as Turkey is concerned, it looks like they are going to achieve this. Turkey, on the one hand, Turkey now is, forwarding its rhetorics anti-Israeli and anti-Semitic, by the way, in the full meaning of this word. On the other hand, we can also see that we might observe it's not necessarily what's going to happen, but it's possible, conflict, a clash between Israel and Turkey and Syria. But Iran, Mr. Trump is going to give them a last chance. Okay, we are going to come to negotiations and an agreement. It should be different, that agreement 5+1 with Iran that was promoted by one of his predecessors and Barack Obama. When Trump wasn't during his first period in the office, he put out the United States from this agreement because, according to him, that agreement was very bad for America and bad for the world. It didn't prevent Iran to get nuclear armament. This time, he's coming back, first of all, saying, okay, guys, if you want to let's make business together, in full meaning of this word, political business and business, yeah, and economic business, financial, and so on and so forth. You have to stop supporting terrorist organizations to get rid of your proxy, which actually three of them important Syrian regime of Assad, Hamas in the Gaza Strip, and Hezbollah in Lebanon are not so effective, to say the least, after Israel made them very substantial damage. And in Syria, it's this coup d'etat brought to power, pro-Turkish Islamist Sunni regime. And now you guys there in Tehran, you have a chance to escape the bigger problem. The answer is no at the moment, but I guess that Mr. Trump is still optimistic that at the end of the day they will say yes, but if not, let's have a look what is going
on the table.
Now we have the biggest probably concentration after the Second World War of American Navy and American Air Force near the not far from the seashore of Iran. And I think this is a very substantial argument. Whether it's going to be a war, we cannot predict. But even if you are not interested in starting the fire, you always shouldn't forget that you might lose the control.
Do we know, there's been so much talk about Iran is, 6 months away, a year away, 3 days away, 14 hours away. Every time I read something that Iran are a different time away from having fully functional nuclear weapons. What do we really know? Do we know?
We have different estimations. Different experts are bringing us their own vision and their own information. And of course, nobody is telling us what is the source of their information, because and we understand why. But I would say that we're probably it's reasonable to believe that Iran at the moment has enough nuclear material in order to get 4 or 5 warheads, nuclear warheads, as well as they're having enough rockets, missiles, in order to send this material, let me put it this way, into any point in the Middle East, at least in the Middle East, and beyond it. So it's just the question of political decision. The fact is that they didn't make this decision yet, means they're open for negotiations according to upon their own conditions. Let's see what would happen in the next couple of weeks.
Can Iran ever be trusted? The fact that they'll sign an agreement really is not the same as adhering to an agreement.
You are right. No trust to Iran. It's not the question of trust. It's the question what would be the better for Iran. At least according to the psychology or at least vision of Ayatollahs. If they understand that that will be the end of their regime, and even more, the end of them physically, they could be more flexible. Probably at least that's what the experts and politicians in Washington believe.
Right. That is where we leave it for now. Professor Zev Kanin, thank you. And really appreciate your time, as always, Professor, in the Department of Political Science at Bar-Ilan University.